There are two wonderful words in Scripture today that turn everything around. As we come to the end of this year, I want to focus on those words. Build your faith today. Those two words, but God.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, your joy-filled, super-blessed voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. As we come to the end of 2015 and prepare to enter by God's grace into 2016, I want to stir your heart. I want to encourage your heart. I want to help build your faith today. I won't be taking calls today. We'll do our best to catch up on calls tomorrow. I have some special interviews and guests as well. But I want to focus on the Scriptures, and I want to encourage your faith and build your faith as we look at God's Word together. You know, there are often ditches on either side of the road for most of the important spiritual truths of Scripture. When it comes to faith, there is the ditch of presumption on one side of the road, where you step out and you act on your own will, on your own initiative, on your own desires, sometimes completely contrary to God's desires. That's presumption. Well, we're just going to do it, we go for it, and it's the flesh, it's not the spirit. Then on the other side, the ditch on the other side is the ditch of unbelief, where you get paralyzed. Well, no, I can't, well, what if, and I don't know, and you get paralyzed, you can't step out in faith, and yet without faith, it's impossible to please God. How do we avoid the ditches on either side? Well, the key thing we need to do is focus on who God is, focus on what He has said, and then develop a lifestyle, not just single action here and there, but a lifestyle of trusting God, believing God, depending on God. And when we understand His power to intervene and His power to turn impossible situations around, it becomes more and more a way of life to trust Him, to depend on Him, to step out in faith, to be people of faith. Ephesians 2, and you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, you hear those words, those sacred, wonderful words, but God, we were lost, we were damned, we were hopelessly lost and hopelessly damned, yes, by our very nature, children of wrath, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, in our Messiah Jesus. There it is. We were lost. We were on our way to eternal separation from God, and there was nothing we could do in ourselves to turn that around but God. That's the theme of today's broadcast. You can look in the mirror, and what you're facing, you look at your own life, is hopeless. You can look at the state of the nation. You can look at situations in your family. You can look at so many things that, naturally speaking, have no way out, have no natural outlet, have no way to turn a situation around. It's basically the sentence of death, either literally or figuratively. But God, I want to encourage you with the word today and help build your faith so we can enter into 2016 together, not in fear, not in presumption, but in faith. This is Michael Brown, and I trust you'll be blessed today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
But God. Those two words in Scripture that turn everything around. We were heading in the wrong direction. We were hopelessly lost without any way to turn around, but God. The situation was bleak. The situation was dark. The situation was one in which we felt the sentence of death on ourselves, language that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians 1, but God. This is Michael Brown. I trust today's broadcast will be faith-building, edifying, encouraging. I won't be taking calls. I want to get into the Word with you today. As we come to the end of 2015, it's my goal that we enter into 2016 full of faith. Before I read some more scriptures to you, I want to share something from an email to a friend. This is a dear friend, coworker. I sent it to him June 11th, 2002 at 11:13 in the evening. We had had a team meeting discussing things with our ministry organization, our school of ministry, the overall work that we're doing, and it was a rocky meeting. It was a money-related meeting, discussing issues, discussing financial needs, discussing difficulties we were passing through. It was a rocky meeting. June 11th, 2002, 11:13 in the evening. And 2001 had been one of the most difficult years of my life, one of the most difficult years for Nancy and me and a lot of our team together. And now we're into 2002, but still with lots and lots of challenges. And here's what I write to my friend. He's part of this meeting that we had at my house. And as I said, it was a difficult meeting. I wrote it down as a rocky money-related meeting. Quote, God has really been moving on me, us, today. And I can say with total confidence and without any natural evidence at all, and this was all caps to my friend, breakthroughs are coming, exclamation point. Finances are coming, exclamation point. Release is coming, two exclamation points. I know it. Now here's my journal entry for the next day. June 12th. Ha! Ha! Yes! My secretary calls with the news that there's mail from such and such, from a good friend, with a check for $30,000 for our ministry. Ha! Plus, today, not yesterday, our school organization also received $9,000 from some regular supporters. Devil, you're coming down. I don't mean he's defeated forever. That I'll never attack again, but I mean the stronghold, that battle. Devil, you're coming down. What encouragement for the flock to see the beginning of the breakthroughs. Why do I share that with you? I share that with you because faith takes hold of something that is unseen. It takes hold of something unseen, but it is a spiritual reality. It takes hold of something unseen, but it is not taking hold of a fantasy. It is taking hold of something that is absolutely real. And by faith, it is seeing these things come to pass. Now, here's what's interesting. Those checks were already in the mail, but I didn't know it. I had no evidence of it whatsoever. All I knew when I sent that email to my friend was that faith had stirred in my heart, and by faith, I was taking hold of something that in the natural was impossible, that in the natural wasn't there. Now look, sometimes if you're $10 short and you have no way of getting it, needing $10 can seem impossible. For others, it's $10 million that are needed for work that you're doing and that seems equally impossible. It's one of those situations where you find yourself utterly dependent on God because you've done everything you know how to do and you've still hit a wall. You've done everything you know how to do and the breakthrough still hasn't come. But you know that you know that you know that you're in the will of God and doing what he called you to do. Surely, just common sense would tell me with the amount of listeners that we have that what I'm saying applies to many of you. Plus, I feel in my heart that this teaching is important to share with you at the end of the year. Here we are in these situations where you're going to have to shut this down, close this, end this, drop out of ministry, not go ahead with the dream God's put in your heart, but God. And he intervenes and he breaks through and he does the impossible. Let me read some verses here that use the words, but God. Genesis 48:21. Then Israel, Jacob, said to Joseph, I am about to die, but God will be with you and will bring you again to the land of your ancestors. It's over for me, but it's not over for you, and it's not over for your children. You will see God's promises fulfilled. We're in Egypt now. I'm going to die here, but you bring my bones back to the promised land because that's where you and your descendants will ultimately live. That is your land. I'm about to die, but God. Joseph speaking in Genesis 45:8 to his brothers who sold him into slavery in Egypt. They're going to kill him and then sold him into slavery in Egypt. Terrible, horrific suffering. Didn't deserve a fate like that. But what did he say? So it was not you who sent me here, but God. But God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. And then what does Joseph say to his brothers? Almost the exact same words that his father said. Genesis chapter 50, verse 24. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I'm going to die, but God will surely come to you. Here, Acts chapter 7, verse 9, Stephen referring to what happened to Joseph. The patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 49? Let's listen to his words as he's speaking about the power of death and the finality of death, but it's not the ultimate end. It's not the end of the story. Talking about suffering, talking about humanity and our weakness. He says, man in his pomp, Psalm 49, will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them, people approve of their boast. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. But God, aren't those words wonderful? But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. But God. Let me read some more scriptures to you. The psalmist in Psalm 52 talking about all of the attacks and all of the opposition, but God will break you down forever. Oh yeah, it looks like you are gaining the upper hand. Now it looks like you are the destroyer and the righteous are perishing before you, but God, he says to the wicked, will break you down forever. Same thing, Psalm 64, verse 7, the wicked can prosper and succeed with their evil plans, groups like ISIS, but God will shoot his arrow at them. They will be wounded suddenly. Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail. Come to the end of myself, discouraged, can't psych myself up today, can't talk myself into a good frame of mind, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, one of the greatest things that I have learned over the years is I do not put my trust in myself. I put my trust in God. When schedule is overwhelming, I don't say, hey, you can do this. I say, God, your grace is sufficient for the day to do what you've called me to do. When I'm overwhelmed with opposition and difficulties and challenges, I get on my knees and I remind the Lord, Lord, this is not my idea. I didn't come up with this plan. I'm doing your will and my confidence is in you. And then that confidence floods every fiber of our being so that we can confess and declare, yes, we are overcomers. Why? But God. Can I encourage you to go back maybe the times past in your life where it looked like there was no way out, where it looked like despair and discouragement were going to win the day, but God, he came through, he turned the thing around, or he didn't turn the thing around, but took you through it, and you came out better through it, and you look back and said, wow, God really is a redeemer. Don't just try to psych yourself up. Oh, you can do that playing a sports event or trying to get through a difficult day on the job. But I'm talking about real endurance is going to come through faith rising, where we take hold of who God is and remember his promises. Hey, friends, don't forget to check out this week's very special resource offer. Sometimes I get so caught up in sharing on the radio and taking calls that I forget to even mention it. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll see it right on the homepage. Take advantage of it this week. We'll be right back with more encouragement for you today, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
But God, two wonderful words in Scripture we are focusing on today to build your faith as we come to the end of the year 2015 and enter 2016 together. I am excited about what's coming. I am excited about where we're going. I'm excited about the prospects in the midst of darkness, challenge, difficulty. I'm excited because of God, because of God. And listen to these but gods in Scripture. I'm not taking calls today, going through the Word, giving you this faith-building teaching. Listen to this as Peter is speaking in Acts, the second chapter, and he's talking about the crucifixion. Listen to what he says. Men of Israel, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God. Boy, that is the ultimate but God, because without that, we're all lost forever. But God raised him up. Oh, yes. That's the ultimate but God right there, isn't it? Jesus killed and crucified by the hands of lawless men, but that was not the end of the story. But God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Peter uses similar language in Acts, the 10th chapter. Again, he's talking here to Cornelius, to a Gentile audience. In Acts 2, it was to a Jewish audience. Here, it's to a Gentile audience. And he says this, proclaiming Jesus as Lord of all. And he says in verse 38, he's explaining how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. But God raised him on the third day. They put him to death. Friends, people are often going to do you wrong. People are frail and feeble and fickle, and often sinful and wicked in behavior and deeds. I failed people over the years. People have failed me. And before I knew the Lord, I did outright wicked things by intent and by plan. They put him to death. People will hurt us. People will often do us wrong. And aside from people, there's a real devil out there who wants to destroy. But God. Friends, my focus, your focus needs to be on but God. Not on what people are doing, not on what's happening all around us, but on what God himself is doing. That's our hope. That's our strength. That is our life. Here, look at this, Romans chapter 5. I want to encourage you today by the word of God. I want to encourage you to take hold of his promises by faith, because faith really does something. Faith in God and his word really does something. There really is power to faith in God and his word. things they come alive. They are activated as we speak and act by faith. I'm not getting into the teaching that we create realities by speaking words. I'm talking about when we believe God's word, when we speak words according to God's word, then the things he has promised become activated, become actualized. Romans 5, verse 6, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Hear this again. While we were still weak, at the right time, Messiah died for the ungodly. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. Friends, what are those but gods that he's speaking to you? What are those but gods that you so desperately need? Often over the years in ministry, we've been under financial pressure. We close out the year under some degree of financial pressure. It's something we've seen happen many times. Many times we've had modest salaries. We are always stretched out doing the work of the Lord. He's always come through. One way or another, he's come through. He's helped us. But we've been under pressure like that. So this is nothing unique in that respect. And many of you over the years have been under financial pressure in ministry and stepping out and seeking to do the will of God. Nothing new there. Our God's an abundant provider. Sometimes we have challenges in this world. And I want to proclaim that he is faithful. I want to proclaim that what he has started, he will finish. I want to proclaim that he will bring the work to pass. There's a great verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. "Faithful is he who called you. He also will do it." Do what? It's so broad. It's so open. He will do what he promised. He will do what needs to be done to fulfill your calling. He will ultimately make you completely holy with the resurrection, with the return of his son and our resurrection and our glorified bodies. He's going to do it. He's going to bring it to pass. But God. So one time I journaled. I wrote it out by hand in my journal. And I said, "God, if you don't come through now, it's all over. There must have been some severe crisis that our ministry was in. And if he didn't come through, I saw no way out." Literally, just a few months later, not a few years, a few months later, I saw that entry and I thought, what was that about? I couldn't even remember it. I couldn't even remember what the crisis was because it had passed. And obviously, it was not as fatal as I thought it might be. And even when we do have losses, yes, I've buried people close to me. You pray for the sick and you will bury the dead as well. We've seen miracles, but we've had the pain of burying people close to us when the breakthrough didn't come. But for a believer, even that is not the end of the story, but God. Be encouraged, friend. Take hold of his promises. And can I ask you, as we come to the end of this year, join with us in faith. Join with us in believing that every need will be met. Join with us in believing that the things that God has called us to do will open up gloriously in the coming year. Join us in faith. If God lays it on your heart to help us with a year-end tax-deductible gift, boy, that would be an answer to prayer as well. But together, we are going to see God do great and mighty things in 2016. I believe that to the core of my being. I believe that 2015 has been the beginning of a year of pushback, and 2016, things will only intensify. So let's pray together. Let's believe together. Let's each get on our post where God has called us to be, and let's stand strong, and let's be faithful. And if you do feel prompted to help us with a year-end tax-deductible gift, you can do it by phone, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or you can go to our website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Just click on donate, and your year-end gift will be deeply appreciated. Friends, wherever you find yourself, whatever situation you're in, get your heart right with God. Confess his goodness and faithfulness. But God.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I remember hearing a message on this years ago, the words, but God. It got me thinking. I looked in the Word about it. I began to look at verse after verse after verse that spoke to this great theme, and I'm sharing it with you today with the goal of building your faith and strengthening you in your walk with the Lord. If you miss any part of the broadcast, not taking calls today, but if you missed any part of the broadcast, just go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Go there later today and just click on latest broadcast, and you'll be able to listen to 1 hour of teaching on this subject to strengthen you, to build your faith, to encourage you. Let me give you an example from Philippians, the second chapter. Paul is talking about a cherished co-worker of his, and you've got to remember, he did not have a team of hundreds and hundreds of people. He didn't have a staff of 1,000. He didn't have this budget where he just had the equivalent of $5 million in surplus just stockpiled away for times of need. When he was in prison, he told Timothy, hey, bring the cloak. You know, it's winter. Make sure you bring my coat and bring the book, especially the parchments. I want to get some reading done. If he wanted to be properly cared for in prison, people have to bring him stuff that he needed, just essentials of life. So when Paul has a dear coworker, someone that he loves deeply, someone that he cares for, someone of importance to him and importance to the work, and that person gets really sick or that person gets cut down in the prime of life, that's a real blow. That hurts the work of the gospel. That hurts the people Paul loves. It hurts Paul himself. So he writes this, verse 25 of Philippians 2. I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. You know, it just struck me. I've taught on this theme on and off over the years. It's been a long time since I can remember teaching on it, but I have definitely taught on this a few times over the years, over the theme of the but God words in Scripture. And what just struck me, I don't remember seeing this before, but how many times those words, but God, follow the word death or follow a description of death. Indeed, he was ill near to death, but God. You may have situations in your own life that are right there, right at the point of death, right at the point of no return, but God. Look, Paul speaks about it again in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And by the way, there are times when he takes us right through. We do have a loss in this world, but then he takes us right through and brings us out on the other end. Paul talks about the trial that they went through in Asia. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself, 2 Corinthians 1. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. We felt the sentence of death, but that happened that we would rely on God. I want to share some thoughts from my own journal for some years back that will encourage you as well. As we take hold of what God has said by faith, he is faithful, he is worthy and deserving of our faith. He is not a man that he should lie. He is not a mere mortal that he'll change his mind. If he promised it, he is good to keep his word. That's what made Abraham the father of many nations. He believed God. Friends, if you know the Lord, you're a believer. I'm a believer. Let's live and act like believers who put our trust in that God who intervenes. We'll be right back. Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are continuing to open up the scriptures and look at this great, wonderful theme, but God. This is Michael Brown. Thank you so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. I'm not taking calls today. I trust you are being edified, helped, encouraged as we look at the scriptures together about God's intervention. Friends, let me share some things I jotted down about faith some years back. Faith is not fantasy. Faith is not denial. Faith is taking hold of the higher, more unchangeable reality, God's reality. Faith is taking hold of the truth before it is visible or apparent. Hebrews 11:1 in the New Living Translation. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. So faith in our heart gives us the evidence of things we cannot see. A pioneer megachurch pastor who has reached, multiplied hundreds of thousands of people, well, multiplied millions he's reached, but has raised up, multiplied hundreds of thousands of people through his church network over the years. He talked about preaching under a tent. He had literally three people there. He was there, his wife, and his mother-in-law. And he said they fasted often in those days because they had no money for food. So they were absolutely desperate and destitute. And he's preaching under a tent, and God had promised him he'd have 3,000 people one day in his church. That seemed like an impossible number back then. I mean, churches just weren't having that in the country where he was. It ended up that he went past that number and past 10,000 and past 100,000 and past 300,000. And I can't say how many churches in his country ended up being raised up with more than 3,000 members. But here he is under the tent, and there's absolutely nothing, 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 nothing. Three people. And he's preaching his heart out about having 3,000. That was by faith. In the natural, he was crazy, but God had given him a promise. Now, look, we can be presumptuous. The children of Israel were presumptuous, and there's a terrible example of that. If we go to the end of Numbers chapter 13, the end of Numbers, the 13th chapter, all right? God has called the children of Israel to go into Egypt. They're in unbelief. Their unbelief turns to outright rebellion. So they go up and spy out the land, but because of their grumbling, because of their complaining, they come back in unbelief. And look at what they say. They said, yeah, we came to the land to which you sent us. Moses, Aaron, yeah, everybody. We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit. But, they put the but in the wrong place. But, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. Caleb quieted the people. See, he's got another but. No. Listen, let us go up at once and occupy, for we are well able to overcome it. No, the others say. We're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. It is so remarkable that we all forget the names of the 10 spies who said, we can't take the land. We all remember the name of the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, who said, we can. Yeah, it's just like you said, God. You promised it. You know, land flowing with milk and honey, yeah, but the people, but the problems, but the difficulties. I know the promises you gave, but. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Oh, they put the but, the B-U-T, they put it in the wrong place. The right place was, the land you sent us to spy out is flowing with milk and honey. Now listen, there are the Hittites there and Jebusites there. The Canaanites are there. We saw giants there. They are fortified. There is a lot of opposition, but God. No, that's not what they said. If that's what they said, they wouldn't have died in the wilderness. If that's what they said, they would have taken the promised land in that generation, and the Bible would read very differently for that period of history. No, they put but in the wrong place. Instead of putting it after the opposition, after the difficulty, they put it after the promise. Oh, that is so fatal. And then they end up saying, let's go back to Egypt. And then when they realize they're in sin to do that, they say, well, in that case, then we'll go up and take the land now. But God was not with them. Let me say it again. Faith is not fantasy. Faith is not denial. Faith is taking hold of the higher, more unchangeable reality, God's reality. Faith is taking hold of the truth before it is visible or apparent. Look, I have a journal entry, March 14th, 2004, about to preach at Fire, my home congregation. And it's one of these things where just in my gut, I knew that breakthroughs were coming, even though we couldn't see anything. And everything was disastrous in terms of my private finances and other things going on that were just terrible because of some, bad things that somebody did to us, not intentionally, and we blessed them and gone on. Let's just say that we were in a big hole, and there seemed to be no way out. But God. Hey, friends, that's reality. Circumstances say one thing, God says another. That's what spiritual reality is. So look, Smith Wigglesworth said it, fear looks, faith jumps. And fear will paralyze you, friends. Fear paralyzes. Faith liberates. Fear brings death. Faith brings life. Fear brings torment. Faith brings peace. Fear listens to the devil's lies. Faith listens to God's truth. When fear is irrational, faith is rational. When fear is natural, faith is supernatural. Faith looks at earthly circumstances and anticipates worst-case scenarios. Faith looks at God's promises and anticipates ultimate victories. Fear is fundamentally a denial of the existence of the God of the Bible. Faith is founded on who he is and what he does. Faith is taking God at his word. Faith is saying, I trust you. Faith is not being moved by circumstances, feelings, or opinions. Faith is believing God and God alone. Faith gets out of the boat. Faith does not sink. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. The double-minded man receives nothing from the Lord. Mountains only move when we believe and do not doubt. It's only the prayer offered in faith that makes the sick person well. I'm just testifying to what Scripture says. To the blind, Jesus asked, you believe that I can heal you? To the distressed father of the demonized boy, Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. To the man whose daughter had just died, he said, fear not, believe only and she'll live. All generations call Miriam blessed because she believed what the Lord said to her would be accomplished. If we believe, we will see the glory of God. And there's scripture references for every one of those last points that I made. Yeah, probably happened to all of us. We thought we heard God. We thought we were being led by God. We stepped out. We stepped out prematurely. We stepped out too far. We made a mistake. We spoke words that weren't accurate. We got burned. And you know what happens? You retreat. You think, well, I'm not going to make that mistake again. But instead of walking with circumspect faith, instead we get paralyzed by fear. We almost make a truce with the devil, so to say. I know those are strong words, but hear me. We almost make a truce with the devil. Basically saying, okay, I won't step out. I won't try to rock the boat. I won't try to get out of this situation. I'll just kind of accept my status quo, low-level walk with God as long as I don't go through any of those hellish attacks anymore. So basically, I won't bother you if you don't bother me. Friend, that's no way for a child of God to live. That's no way for a believer to live. That's no way for a spirit-filled child of God to live. That's no way for an overcomer to live. That's no way for someone who's more than a conqueror in Jesus to live. Friends, Satan has been put under our feet in Jesus' name. And we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and died for us and rose from the dead. And one way or another, if you're a child of God, even when it comes to death itself, there is a but God that follows. And that's where I want to put my emphasis. That's where I want to put my faith. That's where I want to put my trust. We come back. I'm going to read something to you that is almost shocking to read. And there is a but God at the end of the story. AskDrBrown.org, the website to visit, to connect with us on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, to get our emails, to find out about our special resource offer. AskDrBrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got one last segment. I don't think I've ever shared this on the air before. I certainly don't remember doing it. But I want to share something with you, which I entered into my notes from June 11th, 2003. This was written to the leadership team at FIRES. This is our church, our ministry school, and our mission sending organization that I headed up. And it was by our finance director. And she wrote this to us. FIRES finances are in serious condition. I'm reading you this to encourage your faith, okay? I'm reading you this letter that was sent to our leadership team to encourage your faith. There are several account payable bills which were due on May 30th, which have not been paid. They total $5,248.50. And she itemizes what they were, and some we had extensions granted to us. There are many payroll requests which were needed also on May 30th, which have not been met. In other words, we ran out of funds, we're unable to pay our staff, and they said, well, we want to keep working, serving, we're going to trust God together. Several staff and leaders have been in several times needing finances, and I have no answers for them. Now, I'm going to change the names of everybody involved here. Dorothy called my assistant yesterday. She was very upset because there was no food in the house and no money. Several staff members gave her some money to buy food from their own resources. Kevin came in stating that he had heard that some people received paychecks last Friday, and he wanted to know why he did not. No one received paychecks last Friday. About seven people received paychecks last Tuesday because some tuition money came in, so we paid the first seven staff people on the payroll request list, but that's all we could do. Kevin is the second on the pay request list after that. Susie came to me 3 weeks ago to let me know that between her and her daughter, they would need $1,400 to pay major bills due today. She gave us 3 weeks' notice, but there is no money to give them. Sunday night's offering was approximately $1,300, a tiny little church offering. And I've been told that was our last church service for this quarter, that there are no more Thursday night or Sunday services here, in the city before we move. I can't use any of that money because ADP will debit our account tomorrow, $2,080.25 for payroll taxes. There are $13,729 in staff payroll requests, $15,675 in leadership payroll requests. That is without the request for this Friday's pay period, which I have not yet put on the list. That's about another $5,000 in pay requests. Part of the $13,729 in staff pay requests is from elective teachers who should have been paid before the trimester ended, but the funds were not available. They also have been asking when they can expect their pay. There are $8,842 in accounts payable bills due this Friday. Included is that and broken down, this bill, that bill. Now we're going to be moving. Craters and Freights, who will move the copy machine that is in the admissions department to North Carolina, is also included in that amount. They want full payment in advance. It is very important to have that copy machine move properly since it is leased and we are responsible for it. And here's how our finance director signed things off. God is faithful and he is our provider. However, I felt that you should know the seriousness of the situation. I need to know what to tell the staff and leaders when they come in looking for payroll and their personal bills are all past due. You say, yuck, why read that to us? Because here we are doing fine, blessed, in North Carolina. Oh, yeah, under pressure, once again, under pressure with some financial challenges. But we have graduated one class after another, after another, after another. We successfully made the move from Pensacola, Florida, to right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. About 200 people relocated. These were students in our school. These were teachers. These were leadership faculty. These were folks from our congregation. People moved because they felt called together, even though we didn't have finances to make the move, to help pay for the moving expenses for our staff and our team and our students. We didn't have money to help pay for that, nor did we have money to pay staff once we moved. But somehow God provided. We've got our own great facility. We can seat 400 or 500 people in the main building, and then we have another smaller building, and then several modular buildings on a nice piece of property. Good prime real estate. We have our own office building. My own ministry, Ask Dr. Brown, has expanded massively. I mean, we've launched national radio since then. We've launched all kinds of other things. We've got a video studio. We've just moved forward. Somehow, the people I was talking about on that list, different ones, amazingly, we're in nice homes. We're provided for. Our school is moving forward. Our church is moving forward. Our missionaries are serving around the world. I don't remember exactly how we got through. I know we had a bunch of dark, difficult times, but here we all are. And our leadership team, almost the entire leadership team, is still together to this day, working together, seeing the kingdom of God advancing. We have since planted ministry schools in the Philippines, in Cameroon, in Holland, about to plant another in Croatia, God willing, about to plant one in Italy, with more on the way. We have others that were part of our church have gone on and planted other churches, about 3 different churches in the area where we were. We're all friends. We're all co-workers. That's all come out of the church together. So forward, forward, forward. I mean, that is one of the most miserable letters. Just everything was negative. And come on, can't pay your own staff? You got to get extensions to pay bills? Our credit rating is strong together. Our individual credit ratings are good. We've come through it. How? But God. You ought to save the real bad news stuff. You ought to save it. You ought to preserve it. You ought to hold on to it, to look back. And yes, sometimes there is death. Sometimes something goes under, but God, it's still not the end of the story. God can still redeem. God can still take something hopeless and turn it around. And God can bring good out of bad. He can bring life out of death. But God. And you know one really cool thing in terms of who he uses and how he works? Check this out, and I'm out of time. So if you missed any part of the broadcast, go to AskDrBrown.org and listen to the whole show. So here, you got all the strongholds of this world. You've got all the powers of this age. But God, 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. But God. Friends, be encouraged as you come to the end of 2015. God is faithful. And if you've blown it severely, come to him in repentance, asking for mercy, forgiveness. He's quick to forgive. He's quick to cleanse afresh. And with him, but God, with him, things can turn around for good, to his glory and for the ultimate good of his people, and even for your ultimate good. Friends, be sure to check out this week's special resource offer. You'll want to take advantage of it. To find out more, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll see it right on the homepage. Remember, if you live in Greater Charlotte, we need to hear from you. If you're coming to our Night to Ignite banquet or within a few hours, just go to nighttoignite.com. Nighttoignite.com to find out more. You will be blessed. My bottom line today, often there are hopeless situations. They sometimes even end in death. But God is our Redeemer.